I invite you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 10. 1 Kings chapter number 10. First Kings 10, we begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 13. 1 Kings 10, verse number 1. Says here, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by the way he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought the gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great and plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, psalteries for singers, and there came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. So we see that the fame of Solomon was spreading all across the world by word of mouth. Imagine of the travelers and the traders that were going through Israel. And the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's splendor, of his grandeur, of his power, and his wisdom. And her curiosity was sparked, and her thirst for his wisdom motivated her to see for herself if what she had heard was true. You know, sometimes you hear stories and you say, I don't know about that. That don't sound right. And we see it all the time. You know, a lot of times you hear things on the news and you say, nah, I don't know about that. And come to find out later, it wasn't true. Well, she decided to go check this thing out on her own. And in her visit and relationship with Solomon, I want us to see tonight that we can find some insights into our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we look at this. So we see the queen's visit there in verse number 1 and 2. And it says, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And that's kind of interesting right there, isn't it? Concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. So we find that the Queen of Sheba here traveled to visit Solomon at Jerusalem. And she arrived with this big caravan. It calls it a very great train here, with camels and bearing spices and gold and precious stones. And so we can understand this took quite a bit of effort. I mean, when you take a look at the amount that she was carrying, they were bringing with them, this was quite a trip. Sheba is in southwest Arabia, near the country of what we know as Yemen, and it's known for its gold, for its gems, and for its spices. And the queen's journey to Solomon would have been about 1,200 mile journey, or some 2 months in length, probably, for them to get there. I imagine with as much as they were carrying, it probably took a little bit longer. But no doubt the trip was a very grueling one. It would have been characterized by a hot, blazing sun, burning sand, a boring, monotonous desert, you know, almost like driving in Indiana. I'm joking. Of course, I remember the first time we drove into Indiana, and you know, we were amazed at, oh, look, a cornfield. Look, soybean field. And by the time we actually got to where we were going, it was like, another cornfield. Another soybean field. Like, can you imagine a 1,200-mile journey going through the desert, going through the sand, seeing sand? And the queen must have considered this to be an important trip, seeing as how she had to endure so much hardship to get where Solomon was. But she came with a purpose. She came to prove or test Solomon with hard questions and riddles to see if he was as wise as people claimed. She was in search of true wisdom, and all that was on her heart, it says, she shared with Solomon. And that's, you know, who knows how much was on her heart, but that can be quite a bit with some people, especially a woman, right? look, don't start throwing the songbooks yet. But here, she hungered for God's wisdom. Doesn't it make you wonder what kind of questions she would be asking Solomon? It makes you wonder. But Jesus referred to her desire for wisdom and used her as an opportunity to rebuke the Jews, who they didn't have to travel 1,200 miles to see Jesus. But I want you to hold your place there. Look at Matthew 12 and verse number 42. And we see Jesus refer to her here, Matthew 12 and verse number 42. Let's back up to verse number 41. It says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So that's quite a rebuke there. We know that Solomon was great, but one greater than Solomon was in the midst of the Jews, and Solomon was one of the wisest of men, but Christ is the very wisdom of God. Amen. It's going to be interesting to see one day how far Christ's wisdom surpasses Solomon's wisdom. Amen. I mean, Solomon was a wise man, wisest man to ever live. But Christ is so much more wise. Solomon's a great king early in his reign, but listen, Christ is the king of all kings. The queen of Sheba went to Solomon, but listen, Christ came to us and gave his life for us. So the Queen of Sheba here is a challenge to us to have a hunger and thirst for God's wisdom in our life. And that she had heard about the Lord working in his life, and she wanted to know about that. Well, you know, the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 4, verse 5, says, get wisdom. It's a challenge to us. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. And Proverbs 4 and verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We all need wisdom in our life, and God will give it to us if we ask for it. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So God's wisdom is more important even than gold and silver. And I think we see that, but she brought him gold and silver, and the riches that were there, just to be able to hear his wisdom. She was bringing that gift to him for the wisdom that he was going to impart. And God's wisdom is more important than gold and silver, according to Proverbs 16, verse 16. It says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver?" So God's wisdom gives joy. Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." You know, it gives you joy. You know, you ever figured something out? Maybe you had a difficult task ahead of you, and when you figured it out, the joy it brought to your heart. I know when I was working in the tax field, sometimes at night I would come home so tired during tax season, and I'd been working on maybe a particular problem that somebody had, and I couldn't figure the thing out, and I'd go to sleep, and the Lord would give me an answer in the middle of the night. I just couldn't sleep anymore. You know, it just made me happy that the Lord allowed me to solve it in my sleep. God's wisdom gives joy. Getting God's wisdom begins with having a fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, some people you try to share wisdom with, and they don't want to hear it. That's a fool. Yeah, according to the Bible, according to what God has to say about it, they're foolish in doing that. And just as this queen opened her heart to Solomon, God wants us to open our hearts to him. So we see the queen's visit. Next, we see the response of Solomon there in verse number 3. It says, "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." So Solomon answered all the questions of the queen. Nothing that she asked him was beyond the wisdom that he had received from God. And I take it that, you know, she didn't stump him on any of her riddles or any of her questions. And she was amazed at what he was sharing with her. Listen, nothing is beyond Jesus Christ either, because he is the very wisdom of God. I like the verse in 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says, "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Listen, Jesus knows the hearts of all men. He knows all things. He's omniscient God. The disciples had the opportunity to be with him day in and day out for a little over 3 years. This is what they had to say about him in John 16 and verse 30. They said, Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." It was evident to them that Jesus Christ came from God. They could tell by the wisdom that he had in his life. Listen, the Lord God Jehovah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, before he was manifested in the flesh, Jesus and Jehovah is the same person. Jehovah in the Old Testament, when he was manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 16:17 says about him, when he was the Lord God Jehovah in the Old Testament, said, "For my eyes are upon thy ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." That's what Jeremiah recorded there. The Lord's eyes are on all of our ways. He knows what's going on in our lives. And a New Testament verse that equates that isn't found in Hebrews 4:13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." All things. So because our Lord knows everything, it makes him the perfect judge. He's the perfect judge. And we are all going to stand before Him one day to give account of our lives as believers. You know, I'm glad we don't have to answer for our sins. Amen. Our sins were punished in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are going to have to stand before Him and give an account of our lives as believers. The works that we have done since we came to know Him will be judged. I wonder, are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Next, we see the confirmation. The confirmation in verse number 4. So, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." So the queen is left nearly breathless and speechless after she hears his wisdom and sees Solomon's great kingdom and his opulent lifestyle that he was living. Solomon was filthy rich. Think about it. His navy brought him gold from Ophir. In a 1977 U.S. Geological Survey, Ophir was said to be in Saudi Arabia between Mecca and Medina. His navy had brought him 420 talents of gold, which would be about 32,000 pounds or 16 tons. That's a lot of gold, 16 tons. That's according to chapter number 9, verse 26 through 28. Now, Solomon used some of this gold, think about it, to overlay his ivory. He got an ivory throne and overlays it with gold. His drinking vessels, even 300 shields for his soldiers were covered with gold. It's said that Solomon accumulated great wealth by opening new trade routes to new and unfamiliar lands. His ships were sent to faraway countries. They were loaded with copper, and they returned with millions of dollars worth of gold. So he was really accumulating the gold in a major way. The central location of Israel benefited the nation too. There were numerous trade routes that passed through Israel. And Solomon charged huge taxes for goods that were coming through the land. And nations that were defeated by David, his father, they had been put up under tribute by David. They would continue to pay that tribute to avoid further conflict with Israel. And they didn't want any trouble with Solomon no more than they wanted trouble with David. So they continued to pay those things. And on top of that, Solomon taxed his people. Heavy taxes were levied upon the people of Israel too. They had to work 1 month out of every three to pay these taxes. Kind of sounds like United States, don't it? a lot of money coming in. And in verse 7, the queen states that the reports were true. She did not believe the reports until she had seen it with her own eyes and heard it with her own ears. And she stated that the half had not been told to her. Solomon's wisdom and prosperity exceeded his fame. All that word of mouth that got to her, people had diluted the story. He was greater than she even had heard. So this leads us to some valuable insights here. Many people will not believe unless they see. If you ever run into somebody like that, they say seeing is believing. But you know, if one wants to spend eternity in heaven, though, and they've got to exercise faith. By faith, they must trust Christ as their Savior. Even we as believers, if we're going to keep our sanity during times of trouble, then by faith, we've got to trust the Lord, just like we sang tonight, simply trusting Jesus, amen? Simply trusting every day. By faith, we must trust the Lord to lead the way. We don't have to see to believe. We are to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The half was not told to the Queen of Sheba. Listen to me. The splendors of heaven are beyond our comprehension too. When you read the book of Revelation, you get that down toward those end chapters where John is trying to describe the heavenly New Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven that he saw. And he's trying to use earthly words to describe the heavenly place. And it's just, he seems at a loss for words. I mean, it's kind of like he's running out of words because it's greater than what our hearts can imagine. It really is. I believe that the Bible says that it is. The splendors of heaven are beyond our comprehension. I believe the half has not been told. The same holds true for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we share in Him. I mean, you think about our riches in Christ, the spiritual blessings that we're blessed with. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." The natural man, they don't see those things. They don't understand those things. But it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us, believers, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." How do we know it's going to be greater? Well, the Spirit tells us it. Hey, you know, we're in for a grand thing whenever we get to be with the Lord. And it's going to be far greater than what we can imagine. Ephesians 3, verse number 8, Paul said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles," listen, "the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches of Christ. In heaven, I believe that we will see how our life affected others. We will find out about people won to Christ because of our testimony and influence. You know, maybe we planted a seed, maybe we watered a seed, but you know, God gave the increase and we didn't get to see that increase. You know, but we planted a seed somewhere. That's why it's so important. Keep handing out tracts. Keep giving a witness. Tell folks don't want to listen, you know. There's somebody made a comment today on our Facebook page, church Facebook page. I had posted something about a church there, and she said, "I don't want all this religious stuff on my page, you know." And so you got to take that up with Facebook. I've paid for them to put it out there, you know. And it was I'm sure it stabbed at her because it was a pointed message that we need to prepare. You know, for heaven, you need to prepare because you got an eternal soul that's going somewhere, and you know that's the way people are. I don't know if that little thing from our Facebook page that was posted there. I wish I'd have brought it up here and read it to you. But if you're on Facebook, go to our church page, and it's still on there, and. But you never know, putting that out there, where a seed's planted, where a seed is watered, and somewhere down the road we may not even see, and God give the increase there. Let's see, verse number 9, we see the glory given to God. Actually, the glory given to God up there in verse number 1, too. "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord," okay, that's giving God glory in it. And verse number 9 says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel." Yeah, he pretty much had to tell her the story of Israel. Yeah? How that God brought Israel to be a nation. And how the story of how the Lord set him on the throne there. He says, "Because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made He thee king to do judgment and justice." So understand that this was a pagan queen. But she could tell that Solomon had been blessed greatly by his God. No doubt Solomon told her the story of Israel all the way up to his time. God's hand has always been obvious in his dealings with Israel, whether they were obedient or disobedient. Maybe she became a believer. Amen. It appears that she did. We'll know when we get to heaven, amen, whether she's there or not. Then we see the royal gifts that were given. I'm not going to read verses 10 through 13 again, but the queen gives Solomon 120 talents of gold, which is about 4.5 tons of gold. Can you imagine that train? They had to bring that 4.5 tons of gold with them across the desert, and they had to avoid the thieves and all that accompanied there. The spices, from what I understand, are from the balsam tree. It was a spice that could be smelled even out at sea, they say. And almug trees were brought to. I read where almug wood was very antiseptic wood. No insects could live in it. It contains an ingredient called tannin. And mixed with sap, it makes a red dye for wool or silk. It had a very sweet perfume smell. And this wood was very fine and durable. It was black on the outside and had a ruby red center. And it was used to make musical instruments, to make support beams and stairs. And it compares, if you know anything about red sandalwood, it was supposed to be kind of like that. But Solomon gave the queen all her desires. Whatever she asked, she received of him. You know, God does the same for those of us that are his children. Ephesians 3, verse number 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Amen. Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's go ahead and pull that back out of our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs on there, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.